Hands up if you have ever had a dream. Come on, hands up. Hands up if you've never had a dream. Okay, you've all had a... Okay, they say never work with animals and children, but I think I'll add puppets to that as well. What is it that you dream about? What is it that you dream about or you'd like to dream about? Maybe we won't answer that. But what is it about dreams? What about visions? Have you ever had a vision of the future? Have you ever had a picture of what the future might be like? The future that you long for? In the Bible, God gives us a vision of the future in Revelation 21. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The verses go on to say, those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. The Bible actually has a lot to say about dreams and visions. God says we should expect them. Indeed, he promises to give them to us. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter quotes from the Old Testament when he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. So God says he will give us dreams. He will give us visions and prophecies. We should expect them because we have God's Holy Spirit if we trust in Jesus. If the last days began at Pentecost, we certainly are in the last days today. So it's normal to have dreams. It is biblical to have visions. And God expects us to prophesy as well. That word prophecy simply means to foretell his word, to tell others about what he's done in our lives, what he's doing in our world today, what he wants to do in their lives too. As we trust God and trust what he has said in the Bible, he will use dreams and visions and prophecies to encourage us to be faithful and bring others to know Jesus too. Dreams and visions also help motivate us to be diligent and faithful servants until the day Jesus comes back. We believe that God has given us as a church a vision of our future, and you should have received a copy today. It's called 2020 Vision and the 5-Year Plan. It's a vision born of prayer and the Holy Spirit. It's probably the most important document we've produced, certainly in the last 5 years. So I ask you to keep it safe, maybe keep it in your Bible, use it in your prayers. Now, there are 6 parts to this, and they answer the most basic questions we can think of. Why, when, where, what, how, and who? First of all, the why question. Why are we here? Why has there been a church here for 171 years? We're here, as our mission statement says, to know Jesus and make Jesus known. That's why we're here. That's why we exist as a church. And everything we do should help us fulfill that. If it doesn't, it really is an optional extra, and it can become a distraction. That's the why. What about the when? When will we achieve our vision and goals? Well, by God's grace, we've called it 2020 Vision for 2 reasons. 2020 Vision is perfect vision, isn't it? But 2020 is about as far ahead as we feel it prudent to plan. Given all the changes going on in our world, 2020 is where we want to see ourselves, 10 years' time. What about the where? The where? Well, that's where are we going? Where does God want us to be in 10 years' time? And that's the imagine statements. If you like, that's the vision part of the document you have today. It's imagining the kind of church we believe God has called us to become by 2020, by God's grace, the kind of church we would want you to be able to walk into in 10 years' time and see as a reality. It encapsulates all that we believe the Bible says a church should be. So why, when, where? Fourthly, what? What kind of church should we become? And that's expressed in the goals we've set. Very specific goals, attainable, measurable goals that we believe in the next 5 years will help us fulfill our vision. And they've been prepared by the various ministries in the church in different areas of ministry, and they're very specific, and they help us collectively to accomplish our vision. Now, very importantly, the fifth word is how, the fifth question, how, because the ends do not justify the means. We can have a glorious vision, but how we achieve it is very important. And so on the back of the 2020 vision are our distinctive values, and they're born from Scripture. They tell us how we believe God would have us achieve our vision. We believe, for example, that lost people matter to God and therefore ought to matter to the church. We believe that Christ's followers should demonstrate authenticity and yearn for growth. We believe that loving relationships should permeate every aspect of church life. We believe that excellence honors all that honors God and inspires people. We believe that full devotion to Christ and serving his cause is normal for every believer. They set our values out, the values that we believe in from Scripture that will help us fulfill our vision. And the last question is who? Who is it for? Well, it is, as it says on our notice board, to the glory of God and the future of Virginia Water. The glory of God and future of Virginia Water. And it will be accomplished only if we all get involved. It's a vision and a five-year plan for everyone who identifies with Christ Church family. And now, Gospel reading from Luke 19, we find Jesus in this glorious little parable, this little story about himself and his followers. There are three things I want to draw out, three motivations, three reasons that he gives us for playing our part in the vision he has for our church. It's all about being a diligent servant. And the first is that Jesus is royalty. Jesus is king, and we are his subjects. He says this in verse 12. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. Now, Jesus is talking about himself. He is the king. We are his subjects, and he calls us to be loyal subjects. You know, if you're British, you know that we have a queen. Sometimes I feel sorry for other nationalities. But in God's kingdom, we all have a king, a high king in heaven, and that's Jesus. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, says, therefore God exalted him. That is, after his death and his resurrection, Jesus ascended to heaven, and he was exalted to the highest place, and God gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And it's our privilege to do that willingly before he returns. Jesus is royalty. We are his subjects. That's our first motivation. The second is that Jesus is reigning now as king in heaven, and we are his servants. We are his hands and his feet. We have been entrusted with his work to achieve and fulfill on earth. Verses 14 and 15 of that story, Jesus says, but his subjects hated him and sent the delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. All people are subjects of the king, whether they recognize Jesus or not. But as we come to trust in him, as we recognize him, we become his servants. And he calls us to be obedient servants, using the talents, the time, and the treasure he has entrusted to us for his service. So Jesus is royalty, we're his subjects. Jesus is reigning in heaven, we are his servants. And lastly, Jesus is returning, and we are his stewards. I long for the day when Jesus will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." In that story, verse 17, Jesus says, "Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. I tell you that everyone who has more will be given, but as for those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." Because Jesus expects a return on his investment. His investment in you and in me. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose behind the person he has made you. You know, you and I are unique. We've been wired in a particular way, and we have a role to play in his church, in his world today. In Ephesians, Paul says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we don't believe that we dreamed up this 2020 vision. We, you know, this is not a man-centered thing. We believe this is from God, born in prayer, and we believe this sets out the work God has prepared for us in advance to do. So the exciting adventure now is to get our hands dirty and turn our vision into a reality. As we learn to serve Jesus on earth, so he is preparing us to serve him in heaven. As we are faithful in small things, we show ourselves trustworthy in greater things. So what is it that motivates us? What is it that is our motive behind the 2020 vision? Do we expect Christchurch to grow as a result of this vision? Well, yes, most certainly. That is our aim, to grow his kingdom. Virtually all the parables of Jesus are about growing his kingdom, increasing the number of people who come to know him. So how big do we want Christchurch to be? Well, that's the wrong question. The wrong question. The right question is there anyone in Virginia Water who hasn't heard the good news of Jesus? And if there's one person out there that hasn't heard about Jesus, then we have work to do. Peter writes in his epistle, "The Lord isn't slow in keeping his promise." That's the promise of his return, as some understand slowness. "Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." That's why Jesus hasn't returned yet, because there is work to do. Our new 2020 vision and five-year plan encapsulates the priorities we believe God has given us as a church for the next few years. And we invite you to help us turn that vision into a reality as we recognize Jesus is king, he is royalty, and we are his subjects. As we recognize Jesus is reigning and we are his servants. And as we realize that Jesus is returning and we are his stewards. We invite you to help turn this vision into reality as his loyal subjects, as his obedient servants, and as his wise and faithful stewards. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us a clear vision of our future. Thank you for helping us to set goals that will enable us to fulfill our mission as a church. We want to know Jesus and make Jesus known. As your faithful servants, please help us to discern how each one of us can fulfill our part in your mission and help turn our vision into a reality. We ask this in Jesus' name and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.